Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle with me, your host, Joshua Smith. Hope everyone is having a wonderful Friday evening. 1 week till Christmas. I cannot believe how fast this has come up. It is absolutely insane. Guys, we got a great show for you tonight. Fucking awesome show. I'm very excited. But let's start off with some sponsors. Of course, we have TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get this great Getting High on the Ideas of Liberty Ron Paul shirt that you see me wearing tonight by using BTC at checkout for a 10% discount. Or you can join the Patreon, Subscribestar, or become a member of this here YouTube channel under all my videos by hitting the join link, where you can get into a private Discord server and get all of Top Lops' new gear up to 2 weeks early at a 30% discount. So really great stuff. Or you guys can go and check out Top Lops' Patreon as well and get all kinds of cool swag that over there. Just look up Top Lobster on Patreon. You won't be disappointed, I promise you guys. And of course, executive producers of the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a wonderful job that the government has historically sucked at, much cheaper and much more efficiently. Seriously, if you own a business, go check them out. As soon as the show's over, go do it. After you become a member of the YouTube channel and come hang out with us in the after hours chat. Guys, you know I like to do cool panels on the show. I like to get a bunch of people together and talk about different things. We talk about the culture war on the show a lot. So all these guys are doing things culturally to try and push the Overton window, whether it's through politics, art, podcasting, or religion, if you can believe it. I decided that these guys would all be really great. I want to start off with my first longtime good friend, couple-time candidate, I think for Senate, maybe Congress once. He runs a show, O'Donnell for New Hampshire. He is Mr. Justin O'Donnell. Sir, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. You ran for Senate. What else have you run for?
Congress, Senate, right? Congress, yeah. LNC, all sorts of stupid shit.
Well, you were on the LNC. I mean, my first term, yeah. I served with you, buddy.
Yeah, there was 4 years of my life I'll never get back.
Yeah, I know. I'm in my fourth year now, man. It's fucking rough. And I'm trying to put myself through it again for two more years, so if you can believe that. But let's move on. We got, of course, my homie, my good friend, my partner on Break the Cycle, the Hand of God, Mr. Artist Top Lobster. Sir, how you doing?
Doing well, Josh. It's good to be back with you again here on Break the Cycle. Hello, man. Justin. What's up, man? How you doing?
How's it going, Top?
And everybody's favorite wigger, the host of Liberty Lockdown, Mr. Clint. Sir, how you doing?
What's up, Josh? Just, coming in a little conveniently late, representing my people.
Yeah,
color people
that's
thing.
Cool, dude. We had to have some darkness on the show. We couldn't do it without you, man. It was very
that's
important.
Right. That's right. Top keeps pretending like he's got some fucking Latin flavor in him or some shit.
Yeah, when just not that guy.
When the census comes around, I write white. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
And last but not least, my good friend, one of the executive producers of my show and the host of Biblical Anarchy, Mr. Jacob Daniel. Sir, how are you?
Doing great. So Top, if you're the hand of God, does that mean that you're the also the angel of death that passes over all the homes of the unvaccinated and kills the firstborn?
That's right. I'm also the guy who draws the paint above the door so they can pass over that door also.
Jesus. So. Shit just got fucking really weird. You always see, man. You listen. Listen. We invite the religious guy and shit gets weird, man. No, as you guys know, I'm religious. I'm sure other people are religious on the show as well, but my friend Jacob Daniel is you like work at the church and shit, don't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty active in both my church and a couple other local churches. So
play bass for the band. Just admit it. I can tell you.
No. I play guitar. I'm not some shitty bass player. No
No one
cares about the bass player.
Fuck, dude. Why you break my heart, man?
Hold on. I'm just gonna go ahead and throw it out there. You play a Taylor. You play a Taylor, like a 300 model.
No.
Oh damn! So you're not even that good. All right, never mind.
Oh shit, dude. He's like, he's like, no, motherfucker. I play a Paul Reed Smith. What are you talking about, dude?
I actually do have a Paul Reed Smith.
See, I knew it. I knew it, dude.
A man of culture,
and a man that makes a pretty penny here and there, because those are not cheap guitars, man.
Yeah, John Mayer just went with them, right? Yeah.
I play the bass, so. You know, that's thanks for coming on my show.
It's always
nagging me.
You know, I mean, the bass player is always like the eye candy, right? So, I mean, you he'd do all right, I guess. I mean,
Jesus fuck, bass, no, dude.
The bass player is a guitar player, but he can't handle the rest of the strings.
So either the drummer or the bassist is always fat. That's how it works. You know what I mean? And I'm okay with that. I'm all right being the fat guy.
Clint's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about right now.
Literally don't know anything about religion or bands.
He's a rapper. So. He's a rapper, okay?
So he knows nothing about music.
He knows a lot about Limp Bizkit, for sure. That's his
thing. I thought it was a rapist.
I might know the least about religion. I think I might be the token actual degenerate here.
Yeah, you are. Not only are you token, you're definitely token, and you're definitely the degenerate on the show tonight. No doubt about it. I think Clint goes a little degeneracy every once in a while, right, Clint?
Every Monday.
Well, that's why I was late. I mean, I had to do a bunch of Hail Marys and douse myself in holy water before I could even like come in here without bursting into flames.
Oh, God, these religious jokes are going to get really tired. I do a little degeneracy. Yeah. I think people think I'm probably way more of a degenerate than I actually am.
Sure.
Which is funny just because I'm not religious, but like I've never done like any drugs other than a couple hallucinogens when I was in college. I only drink like on occasion. I'm in a monogamous relationship
every night.
Like, hallucinogens like twice this week.
Yeah, Justin carries a box around of fucking psychedelics, dude, everywhere he goes.
Yeah,
Justin, you never know.
He's the kind of guy that goes to Pork Fest barefoot.
Yeah. This motherfucker will show up to your party with like a tackle box. It's like a fishing tackle box. Yeah, and just open it up and be like, what do you want? What do you want? Yeah, he's got it all, dude. It's crazy. It's fine. I did it. I've done every drug, but now I'm a good family man, you know? And so is Top. And so is Jacob. So
I'm not a family man, but I'm still pretty good.
Yeah. I'm pretty good. You worked your ass off to get to where you're at now, too, right?
Well, yeah, but that's has nothing to do with my degeneracy level. I'm just saying, like, I think people think because I was single for the first time in a long time over like the first year that I kind of came to prominence, sure. Everyone's like, "Oh, this dude's a fucking scumbag. He's just hopping from girl to girl." I'm like, "Yo, no, I'm not. Like, I'm single. I'm a single man. Like, what are you talking about?
That's not why we think you're a scumbag."
That's a fair point.
I married my high school sweetheart, so I have no idea. Like, I live vicariously a little bit through all of my like non-married adult friends because I'm just like, I don't even know what that world is like as far as like adult dating and shit.
Yeah, it sucks, dude. Trust me. It's fucked up. I did the internet.
I found a unicorn.
There's a lot more sex.
Sex for sure. But I'm still doing pretty good now. We're 2 years.
Josh has seven kids. I have four kids. I mean, I think we're getting
That just means we don't wrap it up, buddy. That's all.
It just means that we get the benefits of the sex without all the STDs.
That's true.
Clint's got a sports car instead of a minivan.
Yeah, that's true. I'm driving a Dodge Caravan, dog.
Listen, man, these new SUVs, man, they got turbos in them. I mean, they got these huge ass tires. I mean, you know, you can get spinners on the rims. I mean, they're,
No, dude, we had to buy a minivan when we got all the kids, you know, and we got a Dodge Caravan, but it's the GT model, dude. I made sure it was a GT model. It's got black leather interior with the red stitching and everything opens with the fob. You can auto start the car in the morning.
You have so many kids. I thought you were friends with Top so that he could just drive you around his truck. I don't know how else you do it.
Jesus. Times is hard, man.
It is hard, man. It is pretty hard. So let's address the elephant in the room. National School Shooting Day. You guys hear about this shit?
TikTok must be stopped,
dude. There's been these TikTok challenges recently, like stupid shit at school, pull the fire alarm, do all this shit. Well, today was through TikTok, shoot up your school day, dude. If you can fucking believe that. So. What? As somebody with a couple kids, a couple of our kids are in public school. You guys know that. We got an email and phone calls, and they're like, listen, this is what's going on. We have law enforcement, and all this shit's going to be at school all day, and da 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 da. But this is like a national thing. I mean, is TikTok ruining people completely? Is it destroying everybody?
I downloaded TikTok for the first time like a month and a half ago because I also run the Free State Project's YouTube channel, and I was bored and somebody sent me a video. I'm like, this would be great content. Where'd you get it? They're like, TikTok. I'm like, fuck, I gotta download TikTok now. And so I just downloaded TikTok to steal content from TikTok for the Free State Project's YouTube. I've been banned 7 times already just for comments that I've made, but it sucks up your entire day. Like, I'll open TikTok at like sitting on the couch at night, and next thing I'm like, oh shit, it's 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it's wild. I do TikTok. If you guys don't know, I have a TikTok at BreakTheCycleJS, and you can check out my TikTok. It's a lot of, I did a lot of recently family shit, obviously. I used to make funnies on there, but it's a fucking, man, it really is just kind of like a cesspool, really. Clint, you're on TikTok, right?
No, I'm not. I am a middle-aged man, and if I were on there, it would be for pedophilia reasons, I think.
Fucking goddamn, Clint.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just trying to get your channel nuked, brother. No, I'm not on TikTok because I don't know the latest dance moves. That's the truth.
Clint's in here trying to get my channel nuked because I have more followers than him still on YouTube.
You don't. I just passed.
Did you pass me on YouTube?
I did.
No way. I don't
look
believe
it up, brother.
I didn't look it up. I can't.
I got 10
this.
More than you, big dog.
10 more? Seriously? Are you serious? Yeah. Holy shit.
I even messaged about it last night in the group chat, but you're such a doting father. You didn't even notice my.
Oh, you
my
did pass talking. Me up, dude. Holy shit. How did you do that? Did you say this motherfucker started paying for subscribers?
No, I did not. I went on part of the problem and I fucking shook up the world. That's
yeah,
all
that's pretty good. He Dave's had me on twice, but he likes you and Clint or you and Reed better than he likes me, I think.
Well, did you fuck him?
No, I've never slept with Dave, thankfully.
That's your problem.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You got to start there, brother. And
did you at least spoon him?
No, I've actually, you know, so here's, this might be part of it. I've actually never met Dave in person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
He's like the one person that I cherish that's like a big name that I haven't met. In public, I mean,
you can't expect your phone sex to compete with my real.
It's
sex,
true. So it's true.
Weirdly enough, Josh and Dave are like the only two people in the past year that I've offered LSD to turn it down.
That's true. I did turn it down. Yeah, yeah. It was in Boston. I was already really drunk. I was pretty drunk, dude. I had a lot.
You gotta
of
respect someone that just admits felonies on air.
Yeah. Oh, Justin doesn't care.
Hey, if I admit everything I do, they can't cancel me for it later.
How's your TikTok coming along, buddy?
I don't do TikTok. I don't look at it, but I will say I look at the shit on Facebook, which is TikTok. I don't know if you see it. Sometimes there's a video and it's like 3 seconds and I'll watch it and I'm like, damn, and the next one and the next one and next, and they know exactly what I like. Like they'll show me like woodworking videos and then somebody getting murdered or something. It's poisonous, man, because you could waste 30 minutes and it seems like 2 seconds. So
I got TikTok in the first month or two that it was available. And I remember just marveling at the algo. Like I couldn't believe how they just consistently delivered me things I was interested in. But then after the first week or so, and I realized I had sacrificed like 10 hours of my life to watching videos that were just mildly amusing for no fucking value beyond that. And then I found out about the fact that they were basically a Chinese spy operation. I was like, all right, I'm good. I'll go back to, you know, giving my information to the NSA, not to the CCP.
Well,
go
ahead, Jacob.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to make a joke. Like we only like our information to be stolen by America because we're proud Americans.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. If you're going to steal my, shit, you better be American, buddy.
Yeah.
Totally destroyed Vine, right? Because like Vine was.
No, Vine went out of business Vine. Long before.
It's just Vine with a new skin.
Right, but it's not just Vine.
Vine got
quite
bought
a bit
by Facebook, and Facebook.
Oh, that's right.
Facebook's
the one.
Facebook just
it.
Took Vine and made it a feature of Instagram.
That's right.
And then killed it.
That's right. That's true. That's true. Uh-huh. So, for you guys that don't know, I was getting lightweight famous on Vine. No joke, really, truly, I was, and I had a ton, so many fucking followers there, and I woke up one morning and my Vine was fucking gone. It's all gone. All my content, everything was gone, dude. And I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And that was the end of Vine for me. But I had a girlfriend at the time, and I was making these girlfriend Vines, and they started like taking off, bro. I started getting all kinds of followers on there. It was pretty cool, man. And you could get paid on Vine. You can't get paid on TikTok.
You can. They do. Like if you get a TikTok that goes like super viral and like you're in like one of the top percentage of viewers, they just start writing checks. They got like a TikTok creators fund.
Really? Because they didn't for a long time. You used to have to get sponsors to get paid.
You have to like average like over 40 million views a month.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck, dude. Well, I'm racing Clint to that then. Let's go, Clint.
First to show butthole.
I was almost, you know what sucks is Clint and I were really close in the same amount of followers on Twitter. And then he kind of took off and got like 4,000 or 5,000 more than me. And then
you got nuked.
Yeah, and then Twitter took my account. And well, he's passed me up on YouTube, so I'm getting a little worried. You know what I mean?
I don't know how I'm the only one who hasn't gotten nuked on Twitter.
Ever?
I haven't either.
Ever. I've never gotten nuked on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know how Clint hasn't either. That doesn't make a lot of sense. He said some pretty gnarly shit on there.
Well, maybe we could dial up my FBI agent and ask him why he's treating me nicely. I don't know either. Honestly, like I do have a very creative way of saying what I believe in a very aggressive way, but doing it in a way that I know is probably safe. Sure. Whereas the more based impulsive ones read Jose, Cole, everybody else. y'all get nuked because you're fucking maniacs, and I respect it. But I mean, I got nuked
for saying the word death, bro.
No, but the
implication was that you were telling them that you wanted them to die. So
yeah, well, you can't target harassment. You cannot. If you can say it generally, which that's what Clint does all the time. He's just saying things generally,
right?
And they just kind of just float.
I made an active attempt to get nuked because I wanted to see where the line was on this weird day in January last year, or earlier this year when people were getting nuked left and right, like the president. I'm like, what did he get nuked for? And I saw the video and it's Donald Trump basically saying, everybody be peaceful, go home, nuked for harassment and inciting violence. I'm like, what the fuck? And so I took to Twitter and deliberately tried to incite violence all day. And never got nuked, never got
Justin's defended. The Fed, dude. That's what's going on here.
People were responding to me like, you're on fire, I'd quote tweet it. Unfortunately, the Capitol isn't. You should do something about that.
You openly praised
Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah, Timothy McVeigh on Twitter and didn't get nuked, dude.
Yeah. Dude, and over 1,000 people in my replies to that tweet tagged the Oklahoma City FBI field office.
Of course they did, dude. And they probably were reporting the shit out of your page. I mean,
yeah.
It's incredible that you haven't been nuked. I don't get it. I made a comment that simply said death. And that was it. I was gone.
Reed threatened Clint's demon spawn.
Yeah. it was Reed and Eyes. It was our child. So, I mean, yeah, you should be allowed to beat your kids, obviously. So, speaking of cultural debates, I'll give you two tricks to not get nuked. One, anytime you see someone talking about reporting, immediately block them. Bang. So, like, even if they're an ally of ours, if they talk about reporting, block them. Because I never report anybody for anything. Just block them right away. And then second, I have an app thing, a subscription thing. I paid 10 or 15 bucks. Every single one of my my tweets after 7 days gets deleted. So if anyone ever wants to come after me, they're going to have to find something within a week time span to, report me for, because all of my old shit is gone.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. Yeah.
So wait, Clint, see, now, can you explain to the viewers and the rest of us plebs, like, some of us can't do $10, $15 a month. How did you get this kind of money? What did you do before?
For the record, it's only $15 single time purchase and it works forever. So if it was monthly, you're right. I couldn't afford it. I'm not on this podcast.
If you could see my DMs to Josh, every time he's like, he's talking to one of these fucking losers, I'm like, yo, just block him. And he's like, no, bro, it's going to be different this time. I'm going to tell him. And
Listen, Josh and I both have a glutton for punishment. We cannot help ourselves. Yeah. Like, we get caught into these endless fights with these dumb losers, and each time it's just like, oh, this time it'll be different.
Yeah,
here I got another.
I got a little anarchist in me, just a little bit, dude.
Yeah, no, I mean, we all do, but this is the key. Like, there's that scumbag, unironic anarchist, or whatever his name is. I wanted to, tell him to do all sorts of terrible things to himself, but instead I sat back and I thought for a good 45 seconds. When you're tweeting, that's a long time to think. And I was like, what does this guy look like? And he reminds me of Smeagol, because he's this like pathetic dude who's never seen the sun, that looks like he protects treasure underneath the troll or underneath the bridge. But he's so morbidly obese that I was like, oh, I'm going to call him fucking Mukbang Smeagol. So Mukbang, the YouTube genre where people just eat violently, but he's also Smeagol because he looks like he's never had sex or seen the sun. So I combined those two things and I was like, Mukbang Smeagol. Perfect. And you know what? I can't possibly get suspended for it, even though I'm talking about his weight, which probably could have got me suspended, but I came up with it creatively, and now he has to think about himself being labeled.
I think that comment has like 100 likes on it already, too.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, isn't it just like, I used to be a lot more optimistic and like thinking, you know, if we just put forth the best arguments that we can bring everyone to our side. But like, the more I look at this culture, I'm just like, you know, guys like Clint, guys like Josh, you know, like we're putting out content where we're talking about philosophy and politics and going deep into things that matter. And, you know, we got some followers and stuff.
Yeah.
And I got people like mukbangers who are literally just shoving as much food into their mouths as they possibly can in the most disgusting way possible, with like the mic gain turned up to like a, you know, 1,000. So like you hear every last like sound in their mouth and throat, and they have millions upon millions of followers, and they make a living just getting fat. Like, our culture is like, you know, I'm the religious person here, but yeah, it's fucked.
Oh, it's ASMR for
really fucked.
It's ASMR for people that are in love with buffets. It's it's fucking bizarre. I don't understand the genre whatsoever. It's like, but I will say this: it is hysterical that that very attractive young homosexual man became like this morbidly obese savage that has five million followers or whatever. It's like, damn, dog! Like, just to keep the views going, you're gonna like literally die young.
Yeah, he's already been in the hospital like 3 or 4 times for heart issues and kidney issues.
Dude,
and shit.
He looks like he's got 48 months max before he drops dead. Like,
so I'm not gonna lie. When my wife was pregnant, I was like, we saw the ASMR stuff. That was the first time I saw it when she's pregnant with my daughter a few years ago, and I was like, you need to take your shoes off and start stomping some pickles, because there's a really niche avenue for like pregnant feet stuff ASMR. And I was like, we got a good microphone. Like, you could never go back to work again.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
There's a niche audience for the dumbest shit in the fucking world. There's a Twitch streamer, Ludwig, who made like $1.5 million in 30 days just from subs on his Twitch account.
Jesus.
And all he did was have the camera watching him sleep for a month.
Man. Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy, bro. I've been thinking about doing video game streams, dude. I think I'm going to start doing them soon, because some of these fucking video game streamers, man, they make ton money, dude. Like, a ton. Fucking, they got 14-year-old kids out here making $1 million a year on Twitch.
See, the thing with all of these niche streaming products, or just niche whatever on the internet, it's still like being, I mean, it obviously doesn't require nearly as much talent. It requires ingenuity and some luck, but it still is going to be like the 0.001% that become any sort of financial windfall from doing this shit. So
right.
I'm not all more power to you. Anyone that wants to try, same with the podcast game. Like basically you have to be extraordinarily good and lucky and, you know, hit the right vein all at the same time. And yeah, I mean, it's just,
I was just thinking, I've been thinking about it like this, like if you do something that's really popular, right. And this is how we, you know, we're talking about culture. I know we're talking about a bunch of other things, but influencing culture is really, really important if we want to win. Right. And so like, if I could do these video game streams and get a ton of fucking normie followers and then just start kind of opening the door, you know what I mean? While I'm playing these video games, that would be a cool thing to do, man. You know what I mean? More people should try that, for real. Sorry, Phil does it.
Troy Paisano just said if we could crowdfund a cup for Jacob. That's fucking funny.
Wow. Let's see.
Biggest cup of water I've ever seen.
Libertarian, what's up? Tyler Yonke, thanks, man. Libertary podcast review. Everyone go follow his show for sure. He said, did someone say Nietzsche? Happy Friday, y'all. Let's see.
He said I was scary.
He said you were scary?
Yeah, on his episode today, he reviewed David Brady's new show, and I was his first guest, and he's like, I don't know how Justin didn't terrify this kid. He was scary. And then he pulled up a clip of me talking about how the nap is a useless philosophy that nobody understands, and violence isn't all that bad.
Oh yeah. I go back and forth on the nap, dude. I know that it's a, you know, it's an important tenet of what we ascribe to, but it's been used as like this club to beat us all over the head with over and over and over again. And at this point it's like, you know, anytime someone is aggressing upon me or my friends or my community, people automatically go, hey man, the nap, you can't, you know, retaliate because of the nap. I'm like, motherfucker, the nap is out the window, dude. Right. At this point, like, these people have been aggressing against us for generations.
When did the nap become pacifism? Like, I don't get this. Like, the nap has always allowed for self-defense. Like, yeah, you were allowed to use retaliatory, defensive aggression and violence.
Right, right.
Aggression and violence are not the problem. And really, this might be because the non-aggression principle is badly named. Like, it's really not about, like, non-aggression. It's about the opposition to the initiation, the first use of force. That's what we oppose. You know, you shouldn't initiate violence against peaceful people, but if people are initiating violence against you, you are allowed to, you know, do what you have to do to get back to the state that you were before you were aggressed against.
Is the government aggressing on us? Have they attacked us? Is that what's going on here?
Of course. I mean, the government is our friends, obviously.
So this gets into my argument about why Timothy McVeigh did nothing wrong.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. I gotta go demonetize this video right now, dude.
I think the issue with the NAP or even discussing it here or anywhere is that the people who are our enemies, or I mean, most of our enemies are even libertarians. So they know that we would abide by it. So even discussing it, it's just telling them, like, you can go this far. And it's like the dumbest shit in the world to tell your enemies you can go this far. I brought it up on Reed's show the other day when Pete said the thing about the New Hampshire, when they stole New Hampshire, and Quinones said, go there, take it back with guns.
Yeah.
So they were so scared of him.
And they were like, oh my God, he said take it back with guns. And it's like, well, don't say that you're not going to, but you don't have to say that you're going to either. But
right,
it's implied. Like, maybe. Like, that's up to you. If you're gonna, are you going to make me take this shit back with guns? Because maybe. If I tell you I won't, then...
I don't care about the LP enough to ever risk going to prison, taking over. I think that was a level of aggression that deserved violent response. Personally, that's how I view it. However, I'd have to care in order for it to be worth me risking anything.
Right.
So,
the crazy part about it is their excuse for taking over the party and kicking everyone out was violent threats made against them. Right. And then when Karen Ann Harless asked for the evidence of violent threats, the only evidence they had was a screenshot of Pete's tweet after the fact.
Yeah, it was all Pete. Pete's the whole reason they took the party over, and Pete doesn't even live in New Hampshire or is even a member of the party. TJ Fitzsimmons, thanks for the $10 super chat, man. He said, the old Rothbard end around, classic. Yes.
Yeah. Clint, think about it like this. It's like something that you care about. Like, if somebody took your N-word pass, they just took it from you, and then you had to get it back. Yeah, exactly. You do whatever you can, right?
There's nothing I wouldn't do to get that back.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
Violent. That's like, violent means, dude, for sure.
So Holocaust 2.0. If you fucking come from my N-word pass.
My gosh. All right. So here's where I'm gonna put my Christian hat on for a second. I do think obviously defense is always warranted. Okay, if someone takes your shit. Violence is something you have a right to use to reclaim property that's stolen from you, or to preserve your life for people around you, your loved ones, friends, etc. There is something to what I think, even if you're going to take the religious part out of it. Okay, let's just look at the Bible as a set of stories, just for the sake of argument, because I know not everyone here is religious. There's wisdom in the teachings of Jesus, such as the call to turn the other cheek, because sometimes letting your enemy strike first. There are different examples we can see where that works to our advantage. I think that the whole, like, New Hampshire situation is sort of an example of that, where, like, we set ourselves up to get, you know, fucked in a way. But when we did that, we exposed our enemies for what they are. Or think about, like, karate, for example. Like, I'm a big fan of, like, the Karate Kid movies and, like, the Cobra Kai series
fucking
on Netflix.
Of course,
is really good.
Dude.
Yeah.
Cobra Kai was an incredible series.
Yeah.
It really is.
But think about
Cobra Kai did nothing wrong. They were the heroes in my opinion.
About the style, though, of, like, Daniel LaRusso's karate. Like, he always lets his enemy strike first, and lets, you know, you let them set the pace, and then you look for their weaknesses and you retaliate. So, you know, I'm not saying that's universal, that you should always just turn the other cheek, but I don't know. You got to take each situation for what it is, and you kind of make a value judgment there as to what the best course of action is.
You're bringing up the Bible when you ought to be bringing up Sun Tzu and the Art of War. I mean, that's what this is, basically, in my view. I think this is really, like, it's warfare, and it doesn't have to be violent warfare, but the rules still apply. Like, if you're trying to take over a political party and you have a really embedded, deeply corrupt organization which currently runs it, then it can sometimes require proactive, corrupt, dirty dealing, underhanded shit to take over. And I'm not that type. Like, I don't even have that in me, because maybe I would if I thought that it would actually make a difference. But as long as the LP is as toothless as it is, I'm not going to, like, break my moral character to go and take over the LP.
Well,
like,
I think
that's exactly it. The LP isn't worth it. But take the LP out of the equation, and what we're really fighting is the state. What we're really fighting is the apparatus of oppression that the government has created with a monopoly on violence. And if you stick yourself to only playing defense, you're playing on your back foot. You're always backing up. You're never proactively increasing the rate of you seeing liberty and you enjoying liberty. You're always watching it slowly be taken and trying to act reactively to try and keep what you have left rather than seizing what's already been taken from you.
Well, I don't think you always have to play defense, but sometimes it's okay to let your enemy strike first and then to retaliate based upon what they're doing.
I think we should immediately shove our enemies into lockers without remorse and and not take any shit whatsoever. I'm so done with these fucking people, man.
I mean, like, I get it. I really agree with the way Dave put it, and I forget what episode. I don't know. There was some conversation Dave Smith did in the past couple months where this was kind of a conversation that he was having, and he said the problem is, when we're talking about, like, do the ends justify the means, which is kind of what we're getting at here. Like, should we use means that we would normally be against and oppose in order to get to a place where, like, you know, where we think it's more libertarian or what have you? The problem is, the way Dave put it is brilliant, means become ends. And that's something we have to be cognizant of. Now, I do think there's a lot of people that to me, it's just that people don't understand libertarian philosophy. And they're just so cucked that they're just like, oh, we can't do anything except preach the nap and, you know, like, complain when people are mean to us. Like, no, I'm not saying we should be weak. And a lot of people classify Christians as like pacifists. And I do kind of lean pacifist. But the problem is the root of the word pacifist is not to be passive. I am not saying we should be passive. Rather, the root of the word pacifist is to pacify, which means that it is active. There are ways you can pacify your enemy and defeat your enemy without necessarily having to use force. Doesn't mean that force can't be warranted, but sometimes it's about what is the strategy that's going to bring you to a long-lasting victory rather than like a short-term one.
Well, a perfect example is what Dave did with the Unity movement by aligning himself with Reed and myself and couple other folks, is that it because we opened our arms to our enemies and they slapped our arms away and they said, we don't want the embrace, we want war. Well, then now they can't say that we're the people that are trying to alienate them, you know. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about, is like, did we actually want to work with them? Probably not, but you know, Dave was willing to offer an olive branch, and if they fucking light it on fire, well, then we know where we actually stand now, and you guys can't pretend that we're the alienating force that's coming in here to fuck shit up.
And what I see in a lot of different areas in the country, including my own state, is that the people in the middle have broken hard for supporting the Mises Caucus, because like they're just like, oh, wow, like we had some disagreements with you guys before, but we're definitely not about this fucked up shit that these people are doing. And so a lot of people have just come to our side because they're just like, they realize that we actually do have the moral high ground, and also that like we're going to win. So, I mean, I think
at one point I was the most vocal critic of the Mises Caucus.
Oh, no doubt, dude. It's still like, it's still weird to me that you hang out with the MC now, bro. I'm not going to lie.
It's crazy because like a lot of my problem, it wasn't with like the ideas of the caucus. It wasn't with the platform. It was just the way Heist went about things just turned me off and pissed me off a lot. And like what I saw is senseless and needless attacks at Nick Sarwark, because working with him, I will never say he's not competent. I will never say he's not smart. And during his second term as chair, he was the best chair the party's ever had. His third term, he's the second worst, only to Joe Bishop Henchman. What?
Bro, he's a fucking federal agent, period.
What changed my mind on Nick Sarwark, and like I had a great working relationship with him when I lived in Manchester, New Hampshire, and he lived in Phoenix, Arizona. But when that motherfucker moved in literally two doors down from me and started destroying our local social group and started pissing everyone off. And the Free State Project welcomes everyone. If you show up and say, I'm a libertarian, it's like, we're going to find you a friend group. We're going to make sure you know everybody. Your kids are going to get integrated. They're the only ones in the 6 years I've been here that I've seen the entire libertarian community say, no, fuck those people.
Wow. Oh. Good.
It's crazy. That's the highest accolades and praise I've ever heard for the New Hampshire Free State Project. Because any community that I want to join would definitely not welcome Nick Sarwark. Yeah. So that's perfect.
So is he not allowed to quill or what?
He hasn't shown his face at the quill in over a year. I was shocked to see him at Porkfest this year.
Well, he was walking around with sunglasses taking video. I mean, that's all he was doing.
And hiding in the back of people's speeches, like, and stuff. Just like
weird.
Just so creepy. By the way, my wife and I are seriously thinking about New Hampshire, man. It's becoming more and more enticing.
It is.
I'd already be there if it wasn't for the ties we have in Iowa. We'd already be there for sure.
Well, same. I have some ties here, especially like right now with the shit going on with my dad and just like my work and stuff. But
how is
like,
your dad doing? Is
2 years better? From now? He's doing better. I mean, there's a lot of drama. I don't want to get into it. But, you know, health-wise, he's getting better. You know, he's out of the hospital. He'll be home soon. He's got like a few months ahead of him of like rehab to get
his
back
dad
in
got
shape.
got the coof real bad. Real
yeah.
bad.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, last week I had the Transformer cold, as I've been calling it.
Oh, the Omnomicron?
Yeah, the Megatron virus.
It's I call it the Necronomicon.
Yeah, I don't know if you can tell, my voice is still a little crackly from it, but it was exactly like when I had it, like the base COVID back in like 2020, like in September. But it was like quicker. It was like COVID light. It was like a quarter of the time, the same symptoms, but not as severe. You know, because the first time it was rough. Like when I had it, I have asthma, triggered my asthma really bad. I was like down for the count for like 2 weeks, and I didn't have like any taste or smell for a few months after that.
And you're unvaccinated, so.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because did you guys see the Peter McCullough interview on Joe Rogan?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was, I thought it was good.
Yeah, he's like, he was pretty adamant. He's like, you can't catch this twice. And I was like, I don't know. I've heard of people getting it twice, but I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. Like,
well, because it mutates so much. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's like the regular cold. Like everyone in their life can probably think of a time where they've gotten the cold more than once.
A virus.
Yeah.
Right. I know. Science.
But he could be right though that the original variant you couldn't catch again.
Yeah, maybe the original one you can't catch twice. I would agree with that, but it just mutates so much. But I mean, this is what people have been predicting for the last 2 years. Now, you got canceled if you said that 2 years ago. But now it's like starting to become mainstream. It's like, oh, this thing's going to keep mutating and become more contagious, but
and less deadly. Yeah. Well, right. I'm positive that I've had COVID twice. I'm sure of it. I got really, 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 really sick January 2020. And I was flying in and out of SFO every weekend, every Friday, and back every Sunday. And I got so sick that like I couldn't make it up my stairs at the house. I had to like sit down halfway up the stairs. Definitely had pneumonia. Definitely lost my sense of taste and smell. 100%. I was sick for like a week. I picked it up in Georgia, hanging out with Shane Hazel and Adam Kokesh. And then I just had it again for sure. But back in January of last year, they didn't have any tests. I didn't get tested. So I couldn't tell you for sure, but I could tell you for sure, you know what I mean, that I had COVID. And now we know for a fact that we just had it, you know, about 2 months ago or something like that. So, you know, I know that I've had it twice, but I'm thinking I probably had the original variant and then I got Delta is what I think.
Dude, there was a family in my church that like back in like October, November of 2019 had a really like, you know, basically COVID before anyone knew it was COVID. Like I'm convinced and they're convinced that's what they had, because like they had all the same symptoms. The whole family was out of the count for like 2 weeks, you know, lost their taste and smell, you know, really bad cough that lingered for a while. Like, I mean, I think this thing was around for a lot longer than people realize.
Sure.
I mean, it's just crazy how much.
Well, at first they said that there was, you know, that it didn't get here till like March or something. But then last year they came out and said, you know, we think that the first COVID death was the first weekend of February in this county. And that county just happened to be the county that the San Francisco airport's in, where 5,000 people a day travel between there and China. And it was the last week of January when I got sick. So I'm sure that's what I had. I'm sure of it. And I was flying in and out of San Francisco, and I was taking the BART train to the airport, and it lets you off in the international terminal. So I'd have to walk all the way through the international terminal to get over to the domestic flights. And I'm walking past all the people coming in and out of China. You know what I mean? Like, I know that's what it was. I know it's what it was. There's no doubt.
I never got sick. I never got sick. I don't remember getting sick. Some people around me got sick and tested negative when they were getting sick. And then like, end of the summer, I had to have a small back surgery, and I went in. They were doing blood tests beforehand. I'm like, oh, good news, you have COVID antibodies. You had COVID already. I'm like, I don't fucking know when.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, And I'm not a healthy guy. Like I'm a
you
big
were,
guy.
You're a big guy, and you were a heavy smoker like me. Like I'm a heavy smoker, dude.
Like
I'm
I quit smoking like back in March and haven't touched it since then. But like all the research early last year said during COVID was the bad time to quit smoking because smoking kept you from getting it.
Right. Well, I'm a heavy smoker. I'm a heavy fucking smoker.
Fucking knows. You guys want to hear my theory about COVID?
Yeah.
This is so if you want to talk about culture, popular culture, something that was really popular in the mainstream vein for a while was The Walking Dead. And I'm a big comic nerd. So the premise of The Walking Dead is not necessarily zombies being zombies. It's there is a virus, and the TV show season one alluded that it came from the CDC. There's a virus that was released, and people don't turn into zombies because they're bitten by zombies. They turn into zombies when they die, which means the virus is out there and everyone has it lying dormant. And when they die, then they reanimate. Or if they're bitten, then the zombie bite kills them and they reanimate as a zombie because of that. So I'm like, I have a feeling that COVID is just out there. All of us have it dormant. And when your immune system is just too low for whatever reason, you just get sick because there's no rhyme or reason why some people get it. They're not in contact with other people and right. They just get COVID. I think it's out there, man.
I'm gonna take it a different way and say that that the virus is not the virus at all, but the virus is actually the indoctrination and the basically the cowing of the human spirit that we've experienced over the past 100 years or so.
Hi kids, do you like violence?
Are you sick to death of pussyfooting around the truth while being constantly fed lies by news and big tech tyrants? If so, then come join me, Dan Smotz, on The System Is Down, where we get weird, have fun, and dig into all the dangerous taboo topics like conspiracies, politics, religion, culture, current events, and everything your family just prays you don't bring up around the Thanksgiving dinner table. And I know that reality is scary to some people, so if you're easily offended, just ignore this and go back to making cat memes or whatever. But if you're ready to change the world for the better, come join me on The System Is Down at tsidpod.com or wherever you get podcasts. That's tsidpod.com because the system is down and truth is taking over.
And like the COVID was the catalyst that allowed the virus to actually show itself. And and what we actually saw was a bunch of cowardly people that are willing to imprison their fellow men if they don't abide by some arbitrary dictates. And I think that aspect of the culture, I mean, while it's important that we understood that it existed, it was heartbreaking and very, very challenging for me to witness, because I genuinely believed, and perhaps I was naive, but I really thought that this country was far more freedom loving and far more, I don't know, just like unable, I guess after 9/11 I should have known, but I just think when it came to like turning the war on terror inward, I thought inward, oops, shout out Tower Gang, I thought that it would be harder for people to accept turning the terror the war on terror inward, and I was wrong. People are more than willing.
Well, now we all have to worry about this Omicron shit, because New York's already New York just started sending out laptops. They're talking about putting all their kids back in the house. Fucking, I mean, we're really looking at a bunch of states getting ready to lock down again, dude. I mean, full scale fucking lockdowns again, dude.
Let me tell you,
California got mask mandates again.
New York too. I'm still out here, and I just went to BJ's today, and I haven't worn a mask in like a year and a half since everyone kind of, I decided that it's not working. I haven't worn.
You're talking about
BJ's
brew pub?
No, I was giving BJ's on the corner.
Yeah, and, that's right. That was more likely. That's what I thought.
How do you think I make money, bro?
All right. Okay, cool, man. Well, it's not from here. I know that.
Yeah. So I was at BJ's, and they have a cop in the front. And I walked in, and he had a box of masks. So he, like, handed out. And I was like, I'm just going to, not to be rude. So I take one. I said, thank you. And I keep walking. And as I'm walking, the guy's like, bro. Yo, bro. And I'm like, my wife is like, I think someone's calling you. I'm like, no, let's keep walking. And the guy, like, he ran up to me, like, hey, you got to wear the mask in here. And I was like, oh, like, I don't wear it anywhere. And no one has said anything to me, like, ever. Right. Maybe it's my demeanor, but he's like, you got to wear it. And I was like, oh, well, why? And he's like, well, there's a mandate. And I was like, oh, it's a law? He said, well, it's not a law. And I was like, huh. He said, but it came from the governor. And I was like, oh, the fake governor.
Yeah.
And he goes, huh, Yeah. Well, you know, even if you have a booster and you're vaccinated, you can't not wear it. That's just the rules here. So I was like, all right, cool. So I threw it on the floor and then I turned my carriage around and we just fucking left. It's happening again here. And I was like, I cannot wait. I hope this place fucking
Dude, my family wanted me to come home for Christmas. And I just told them today, I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it because California just came back with the statewide mask mandate. And I'm like, I can't go back to that lifestyle. I'm like, I love you guys. I'll see you whenever sanity returns, if it ever does. Or you guys are welcome to come visit me in Florida. But I ain't existing right under this nonsense anymore.
Well, my mom texted me like 2 hours ago asking if I was coming home from Christmas. I'm like, it's a 45-minute drive, but you're in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but sorry. Justin really doesn't like Massachusetts, by the way. I was just in Boston. I'm like, yeah, you guys come out to Boston. He's like, no. But he did. Drive. He did.
Like,
he
not
did.
Far at all. Yeah. But like,
yeah. Hey, you want to talk about being disappointed in something? Like Clint, you were talking about being disappointed in our culture. I've been really disappointed in Christians. And you know, it's funny, Josh. At the
me
beginning,
too.
You were asking.
I'm not even one of them.
Yeah, I know.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, Josh at the beginning asked if I was involved in church, and I kind of awkwardly answered it because I used to be, but the last year and a half has kind of changed that because too many churches, including my own, basically just kissed the ring of the state and just said, we'll do whatever you ask us to do.
Whatever happened to that Polish pastor up in Canada that like went viral at the start of the lockdown?
I think he's in jail.
I think
yeah,
he's in jail,
a lot yeah. of there was a lot of guys in Canada whose churches were being the pastors were being arrested, churches were closed down and barricaded. You know, there was some big names in America, like there was like John MacArthur and James White, a couple other people that kept their churches open. But for the most part, most of them were just more concerned about their tax exemption status.
Right.
What happened to know God before Christ?
I know.
Or
and also, but... like, what happened to I have not given you a spirit of fear. And like, if there's any group of people that I would thought would have understood that living life is about more than just, oh, I'm going to try to maximize the amount of days that I have here on Earth and avoid any type of risk. When like you look at the you know, look at the freaking gospel, like how much caution did the apostles have in going out there and preaching the word of God? They did it to the point of being stoned to death. Or dying in jail. You right. know what I mean? Like, it's like, but we follow in their footsteps, but we're going to kowtow to mandates from governors and shit that we won't even, you know, meet together and we won't
well,
do
church,
any outreach
and the
or
church,
do any, it's just
the church idolizes. And in fact, they sanctify or whatever. They give sainthood to, you know, religious believers that sacrifice everything. And oftentimes the people that killed them that well, made them a martyr was the state.
Yeah.
And it's like, and yet these lessons are taught in modern church, you know, teachings and yeah. it just doesn't seem to stick. When I saw them arresting, pastors and people that were going to church against mandates in different, red states, even I was like, okay, we're so far down the slippery slope to hell. Like, and I'm not even a religious person. I don't even believe in hell, but like, I believe hell exists on earth. Yes. And it's like, we're sprinting towards it. And as much as I'm not religious, I always relied on my religious brethren to be like, okay, like there are certain things that we will not abide because we believe in heaven and we believe in good and evil, and we will do what's necessary to uplift good. And they have failed in that job. And I don't know how it happened, man.
I'll tell you how it happened. So this is going to be a little diatribe here, but cut me off when you
hold on. Hold on,
Top.
One second before Level Zero. Thanks for the $5 super chat. He said, quote unquote, they're turning the war on terror into inwards. Clint allegedly.
If only.
Okay, go ahead, Top.
Oh, wait, we got one more from Ashton. What did she say?
Oh, Ashton Birdie. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Ashton, please spend all of Clint's money on super chats. $5 super chat. Imagine being a proud, rowdy Boston, New Yorker that never quiets their opinion until it's time to take the wang of the government.
That's why I left Boston and came to New Hampshire.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Top. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think it's the attitude of like. Subservience or just being docile, like the habitual rule followers. I spoke with Reed about it on his show. That was me. That was me like before I went to church. And I'd like to thank the church for breaking me and shaking me out of that, because within that structure, I was really deep in it. I met my wife playing music there. We basically ran the music ministry, and I was there, 7 hours a day, just working within the confines of this. And it operates similar to the government, where the pastor is the president, and then you have a treasurer and so forth. And I mean, it's crazy. I'm sure that Jacob knows the ins and outs of, I don't know if your church works that way, but it works like a business. But I saw that, and where I guess, I was kind of like I was a timid kid. I was quiet, but I saw that and I was like, I got to speak up, because a lot of the stuff that's happening here is just fucking bullshit. And if nobody says anything, it's going to continue to happen. So I spoke up and one too many times. I called out the pastor for what I think was embezzling funds for a sound system, which he was, and I was promptly kicked out of the church. So I would like to thank the church for being that part of the radicalization for me. And where was I going with this? You were talking about...
I was trying to figure out how the church has basically abdicated its role of fighting the state to some extent, or like being that thing that stands slightly above the state.
If I had to guess where you're going with it. Yeah, exactly. I think it's where Top was going. Is that like
they emulate it? Yeah.
They copy it. Yeah. And it's the opposite of what Jesus taught. Jesus said, this is how you be a servant. This is how you be a leader, is to be a servant. And he showed, this is how you be a leader. And he washed his apostles' feet. That is what true leadership in the church is about. Yeah. It's not about lining your pockets, about having that nice, comfy home with that nice, comfy salary for all the pastors in your church, and making these big buildings that do nothing except put on these stupid little, music concerts once a week. That is not what the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be light and salt in the world. It's supposed to be what you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me, is what Jesus said. And it's supposed to be about, going out there and, what does it mean to love your neighbor? It doesn't mean you just think positive feelings about them. It means you're out there doing what is good for you, your family, and your community. And that means not being passive. And that means not, being cucked for the tyranny of the state, because you're too concerned about your comfort.
Well, if my neighbor's turning me in for doing odd jobs for other neighbors, I'm probably gonna,
I'm an atheist, and like people have called me a militant atheist because I've had those arguments with people. I'm like, no, you're fucking wrong. And it's not that I have a problem with people who have faith and use religion for whatever they need religion for. I have a problem with organized religion, because since the dawn of Christianity, religion has started to become organized and structured, and it has been one of the catalysts for most suffering in modern human history, is organized religion emulating the state.
Well, I really think it started, other than the state, I would say yes.
I wouldn't say it started right away. It really started with Constantine. If you look at like early church history, they were very like anarchistically leaning. Actually, they were very like first 200-300 years. Like they condemned people who tried to hold any political position at all, and they viewed themselves as separate from the state. Yeah. And, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And that was what the early church believed. And actually, this was why the political reasons, I believe, why Constantine and the Romans adopted Christianity was because it was growing, and it was making it hard to keep their empire together. So what they did was one of the greatest co-ops in history, is they took the religion of Christianity and completely perverted it. And what did Christians do? Christians went along with it because they said, you know what? For the last 300 years, we've been persecuted heavily. I mean, look at what Nero did and all the persecution of the early church. They used to boldly stand up to it and still proclaim the truth, whatever the consequences were. But then what did they do? They traded liberty and the truth for security and comfort. And isn't that such a parallel to what our culture is doing today? Because people trade comfort and security, well, what they think is security when it's really not, they trade their liberties and the truth away for those things.
This is a gripe that I have with the post-libertarians, is that it seems to me that while we all agree on the negative aspects of the state, they seem to think that perhaps humanity needs that structure regardless. Maybe that's what their argument would be. I'm not sure. But it seems to me that they also believe that simply replacing the shitty structure of the state and replacing it with the church is necessarily better.
Right.
And while I think it has the capacity to be better, it is not a given that it would be better because there are many evils that could come from having a, you know, theocracy as well.
Well, I think, you know, something I talk about on my podcast is the concept of sphere sovereignty. And I think that the way that the Bible talks about authority is that God has divinely commanded and structured human society and all of nature into different spheres of authority, basically. And I think that church does have, like, there should be some structure to the church, but that structure should be different than the sphere of civil authority or governance. And, you know, I'm an anarchist, but I'm not, you know, I believe in law and order. I just think that the state is not an entity that actually brings true order. And I think that's actually very biblical. You know, the biblical view of leadership and authority is very contrary to the state's monopoly over those things. To me, the state is actually an agent of the beast and of chaos.
Well, I think spontaneous order is going to happen no matter what.
Exactly.
I mean, no matter what, spontaneous order is going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah, but as long as it's done based off of merit, it's not necessarily bad.
Yeah.
When it's done, like, it's the same example of having corrupt police is the same negative ramifications for a society as it is having corrupt parishioners and pastors and church people. It's like, if you can't expect these people to be the arbiters of truth and justice and all these things and have them be corrupted to their core. So I don't know how you remedy that on both fronts, though. And I think that just replacing one with the other, saying, well, the state side didn't work, let's go with the church side, it concerns me.
Sharia law now.
There's a reason why there's a war on masculinity in general, because masculinity generally is correlated with order. It's the white side of the yin and the yang, and femininity, the mother, is correlated with chaos, because it's giving birth and there's just new things. And, you know, when something is new, it's great, it's exciting, but it is chaotic because we don't know what to expect from it.
That makes a lot of sense because women are pretty chaotic, dude.
Yes, they are fucking chaotic. Drive you crazy.
I want to give a shout out to T for Truth too, dropping a $20 super chat. Thank you. They said, just want to encourage you guys to keep crushing it. It's too easy to feel alone and valuing freedom so much, and y'all keep me sane. First super chat to anyone ever. Thank you very much. Seriously. Adam, $2 super chat, said, Top Lobster knows the ins and outs of the church. And T for Truth too dropped another $5 super chat, said, preach Jacob. Yeah, man. You know, it's weird to me because I lost my faith for a long time, right? Like, I wasn't religious for a long time, and I started kind of picking it up a few years ago and got back involved in the church. And we've had a great church here that just said, fuck it, we're not shutting down, we're gonna have in-person worship. Still, everyone was coming. No one has died at the church from, you know, contracting COVID. And it's a big church. It's the mission church. I mean, it's a big fucking church. So we got really lucky in that aspect. And I think that this church and the parishioners and the people that go there, and I think they've, like, moved more towards, like, a freedom direction culturally because of the COVID stuff. You know what I mean? Like, these people, they probably were a little blue-pilled on a lot of stuff, and because the state said, hey, you guys can't have in-person service anymore, they've started going, hey, this state thing might not be such a good idea.
I don't think that's limited to the church.
Sure.
Population as a whole.
But, I mean, I think to see more Christians getting red-pilled on that in general would be a great thing, especially in the middle of the country, man, you know?
Well, I want you guys to respond on that, though. Top and Josh and Jacob, you guys are, like, the Christian fringe by my perspective.
The good people.
Yeah, the good people. The moral ones. Yeah, we get it.
Well, see, this is what I'm talking about, though. It's like, I'm bringing up all of these critiques and concerns about replacing the state with the church, and no one's addressing it. Like, are you guys
I don't want to replace this. I don't want to replace the state with the church at all, buddy.
Who would you rather have? And you're a libertarian and you're an anarchist. Would you rather have a Biden or a Donald Trump in office right now?
Trump.
Trump.
Okay, exactly. See, but this, it's not, I mean, Trump is garbage. Everyone here could nod their head, agree with this. So would you rather have a godless society? Oh, that making some sales. Would you rather have a godless society or a society with some kind of order that has been proven to drive culture in a certain way? Because yeah, something is about culture, right?
What we're if we're talking strictly preferences, yes, I agree. It, yeah. But still, I just it concerns me when I hear people, especially the Hoppians, that are like, they're going so radically Christian that they're basically blocking people like me. And I, for the record, I don't care if they block me, like, you're more power to you, but I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand why we now we have all of these litmus tests that you have to meet to be considered a libertarian, which is already a very high bar given how fucking psychotic people are. And now they're like, and you also have to believe in God. It's like, what? Why are we adding this to this list? I mean, if you think that I would be a bad neighbor to you, you're out of your fucking mind. You know, like, I would be the best possible neighbor you could have, and yet because I don't believe in God, I'm now considered, you know, perhaps one of the enemy. You know, it's just, I don't know.
But yeah, what I would do if I was dumb is...
I could definitely see you sneaking over late at night with a bottle of whiskey and blowjobs, man. I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
some empty land next to my spot up in Florida.
And you mentioned the blowjobs, and Top's like, all right, dude,
Clint's a little further south than I think you're going to be there, Top.
Well, it's
well,
like
after a certain time, he'll be a little further south. Now, I mean,
society needs order. Okay, like, I don't want a society of chaos. If anarchy meant a society of chaos, I wouldn't be an anarchist.
Sure.
I'm an anarchist because I think, as Josh put it, spontaneous order is the true order. Actually, I think true order comes from free market meritocracy. And, you know, think about the leaders in our movement, right? Dave Smith, Josh, Michael Heiss, et cetera. No, none of these people coerced their way to the top. They naturally rose to the top as leaders because these are the leaders that we want, because they're the ones putting in the work. They're the ones that are being like, they are in a way like, you know, like servants in a way to the liberty movement and to all of us who care about liberty. And so they're elevated to the top, not and they're not seizing power. They're given power naturally because of the skill set they have and through those voluntary associations. So
that's how it happens, right. But that's pretty rare.
When I say I think that the culture needs the church to step up and fill the role that it needs to fill, and that we need to replace the fake order of the state with the actual true order that you find in, if the church was doing what it was supposed to do and following the teachings of Christ consistently, that is not a coercive order. I don't want a theocracy. I want a culture that is transformed from the inside out through following those teachings and through, I think that some cultures promote liberty and some cultures don't. And I don't think you
can get there without chaos. I don't think you can go from the structured order that we have now to a structured good order
without dismantling
the system.
Oh,
like,
no,
spontaneous order has to come from something, and there has to be chaos. You can't have spontaneous 100%. Order when there is
I want to be clear that I think there's going to be chaos too before we come to spontaneous order.
Well, you need both, right? Like, you can't have that. And Jordan Peterson's great on this. Like, you know, you kind of have to straddle that line between order and chaos, because you need both. Without chaos, there's no creativity, there's no creation, right? Sure. But without order,
what I'm looking for is a balance. I want to balance. And what bothers me with the post-libertarian movement when they talk about, you know, trading the state for the church, is that there isn't much conversation about reforming the church to make them actually uphold these beliefs that we all value of human liberty and autonomy and all these things. Well, if the church couldn't even fucking defend you during the past 2 years, why the fuck would I want them in charge? Well, you know, like, that's kind of what I'm saying.
When you're selling libertarianism, do you lead with Nick Sarwalk and Andy Craig?
No.
I've literally never mentioned those guys. Yeah,
we ignore them. So, like, if I was trying to move culture towards the church, and listen, I'm the first person, you could ask my wife, my mother, anyone in my family, the things that I've said to these people in this church, even during this lockdown, I mean, there's no hard feelings. I don't bite my tongue with these people. They disgust me in a lot of ways. But what's going on in the world today the church is still so much more preferable. So if I were to want to sway people back to this, I would just go as hard as I can at it and see where things fall. Because if you move that Overton window, even just a little bit to towards where they want to go, it's better than where we're headed.
I'm dying in the chat right now, guys. This is fucking hilarious.
Oh, go ahead.
Someone said Clint would definitely be coveting some neighbor's wife. And and Ashton's in the chat, and she said, I'm sorry? Question mark. And then she said, hold on, it gets better. Where's the next one? What about Clint doing what with someone's wife? So I'm having a good time over here. This is a lot of fun.
I've already announced quite proudly I was in a monogamous relationship when this episode started, and that I am not a degenerate despite opinions to the contrary. So let's move past that.
And Ashton is also texting me Boston jokes and making fun of me for being from Boston.
Nice. And Ashton and I are both from the Bay Area, Contra Costa County. So we're all just one degree of separation away, right? And thanks to TJ Fitzsimmons for the $5 super chat, man. He said, that was me. I'm not sure what you're talking about there, but I'll go with it. That was you. Guys, we're getting to the end of this public live stream. So Omnicon, man, that's really what got us into this whole conversation here, right? We started talking about the church and these cities states like New York and California and stuff like that. I mean, what do you think it's going to take, man, to end this shit? What can we do?
I think continuing on the path that we've been on of throwing sand in the gears of the fucking totalitarian panopticon technocratic shit state that they're trying to put on us. Every time you refuse to put on a mask, every time you walk into an establishment and you give them shit, it depletes their morale. And I know, you know, I got into a big fight with Ace and a bunch of other people about this. Drew, I don't agree with, you know, physical violence against these people that are enforcing the vaccine passports. I think that it's still really important that you let it be known that this is appalling and that you try and take your business elsewhere whenever possible. The only time I've worn a mask basically in the past year and a half is when I've had to fly. And even then I still ask the stewardess, because leaving Mexico, I had to get a cleared test, a negative test, within a few hours of getting on board. And every single person on that plane had to do the same. And yet they still required that we wear a mask, which a CEO of Delta or whatever company it was came out today and said they basically don't work.
That was Southwest.
Yeah, there you go.
The most based airline. Fronts,
on all fronts, it's illogical. It's nonsensical. It's un-American. It's anti-liberty. It's bullshit. And I really hope that people feel more courageous and more willing to speak their fucking truth, man. Like I've been doing this for a year and a half now, and I know I've inspired a lot of people to start to talk about it more openly, but I still to this day get so many DMs from people going, thank you for saying what I can't.
True.
And my point is, you can. Yep. You can say what I'm saying. And it drives me crazy when people tell me that.
I try and tell people too, like it's there, the difference between losing your job for not getting vaccinated and getting a fake vaccine card to keep your job is non-existent. Because, well, I mean, the difference between getting vaccinated and getting a fake vaccine card is non-existent. If you don't believe in getting vaccinated, then don't fucking get vaccinated. But if you get a fake vaccine card, you're normalizing compliance. You're not making it known that you're opposed to it. You are telling them that you will jump through hoops to comply, even if it's against your values. And they're not getting the signal because they see, oh, he's vaccinated. They don't know you're not vaccinated. And if they don't know you're not vaccinated, they don't see the market signal that people don't want to get vaccinated. So you actually have to stand for your principles.
And you have to sacrifice something. Look at what Kyrie Irving did. He just sacrificed over $10 million. $10 million. Now, you could say, oh, he's got plenty of money. Yeah, but, you know, he's probably uplifting his whole community with that money. So he sacrificed a hell of a lot. And the Brooklyn Nets just announced today that they're caving and they're letting his ass play on the road, still not at home in New York. But that's profound. I mean, and just that one example, how many thousands of people are going to be inspired to follow in his footsteps? And the more people that just take, I mean, we only need 10 or 15% of the population to really say no and mean it. And if they do, this whole fucking system comes crashing down. So, like, just don't think that this is too big for you to handle. Like, your little role in this can play such a meaningful decision maker.
True.
The Bible says...
Go ahead, man.
The Bible says over like 500 times either do not be afraid or to be strong and courageous. And I kind of want to echo what both Clint and Justin said. Like, I honestly think that there are more of us and more, even if they're not libertarians, there are more people that are fed up with this bullshit than there are people who want to comply. But the problem is people are afraid. And if we are not willing to be like the first ones to stand up and say no, and to continue to say no as time progresses, because a lot of people, they get fatigued, they get weary. It's hard to keep on resisting the tyranny of the state as time goes on. But the longer it goes on, that's when it becomes even more important that we continue to, you know, to be like that voice in the desert that keeps saying no. You know what I mean?
Dave Rubin
making that stand and saying no.
Yeah, Dave Rubin had a great point on a tweet this morning. He tweeted a screenshot of a CNN headline that said 4 out of 10 Americans think we should still take precautions for COVID. And he responded, it's like, what this means is 6 out of 10 Americans are sick of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Right.
Correct. Right. Top.
I think more than 6 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah. This attitude's been festering since like the early days of Trump, where I've seen it, you know, I'm not a Trump supporter, but I've seen a lot of people and they'll secretly be like, I kind of like him. I was like, so fucking say it, you coward. If you like him, speak up. Because at that time, the whole like dialect was, you know, everyone hates Trump. And even if they did kind of like him or were not, didn't care too much, they just didn't say anything.
Right.
I was like, yo, speak the fuck up. Speak up or you're never going to be able to. And, you know, it's still the same thing today, but that's like, it's a tale as old as time. And it's something that repeats no matter where you are, whether you're at your job, whether you're in your church. You don't want to talk about the pastor. You don't want to talk about the supervision. You don't want to talk about this or that. Well, nothing's going to change.
Right.
And I mean, talking is easy. Talking is cheap and people still won't fucking do it.
It's even the easiest thing. Well, I don't want to downplay it. It takes courage and it takes sacrifice and you may lose your job and you may lose some friends and family members in the interim. But what you're gaining with that is so much more profound, because one, you will find yourself, as soon as you start telling the truth, and I've been telling people this for a long time now, but it's the fucking truth. As soon as you start telling the truth, so many of your people in your circle will come to you and be like, I agree with everything you're saying. Thank you for saying it. Like, and you will be stunned. You're so much less alone, but the only reason you feel so alone is because you think you're alone. If you talk and you tell the truth, you'll find a community that uplifts you. I've done it with my show. I think we all feel the same way. So just please, for the love of God, show some courage, because like delayed gratification and sacrifice and having low time preference is all belief systems that we espouse when it comes to investing and all sorts of lifestyle behaviors and things like that. But when it came to COVID, it has not been that way. People have not been willing to take the hard road in the short term to have an easier road in the long. And I promise you, if we fail in this fight, the long road is going to be harder than you could possibly imagine.
It's going to
suck
so bad.
We can't lose this.
Right. And you know, nothing can be born, nothing good can be born from lies. We have to tell the truth. And even when the truth makes people uncomfortable, I'm sorry, we cannot shy away from it. We have to continue to tell the truth, because it's only the truth that sets you free. And you can take that biblically, or you can just take that logically or archetypically, psychologically, whatever. You can't, you know, the lies are not for your good.
And the more rare the truth is, the more profound it is when you speak it. So right now, there has never been a more profound and courageous and important time to tell the truth, because you can't find it anywhere.
Right.
It's like the whole reason that my show took off with popularity is because I was one of the few, even in the libertarian realm, there wasn't enough people doing what I was doing, speaking with passion and honesty. Like, there is a market void here. Fill it. And you can fill it. It doesn't have to be us. It took me no overhead to do it on my own. You don't even have to do it with a podcast. Just do it in your fucking day-to-day life. And you'll find that like the harder road right now will open so many doors to you. I mean, look at Top. He's, even though his whole life's being uprooted because of this bullshit, he's probably going to end up in a 10 time better position. And it's because he had the courage to take the hard road in the short term.
Sure. Yeah. We got a couple super chats before we take off. Shannon Lee.
Wait, one more thing. Oh, guys, listen. If you're listening to, I mean, it's preaching to the choir, but maybe it'll get out there into the space and someone else will hear it. But I find that when you say something, or when you're telling the truth, or when you just speak something, you verbalize it out loud, you materialize that. And now that's out there, whether you think it's some woo shit or not. When I say something, I told my wife, I said, you know, this design stuff, I'm going to have this. This is going to be my full-time job. And I said, if I'm at my job within 5 years, I have failed. And it's been two since I said that.
That's so bad.
It's about to be my full-time job. I verbalized it. Verbalize this shit, because hold yourself to it. Go on a show, or just record yourself and put it on the internet for your friends to see. And you know what? They'll make fun of you if you fail. Don't fucking fail. Tell exactly. The truth.
That use that fear to fuel you, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I can't fail. I will not fail. And because of what I have said already, I put my name on this. Top Lobster, the reason that's my name is one of the chapters in Jordan Peterson's book says, tell the truth or at least don't lie. Tell the truth in everything you do, man. That's it.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and a man speaks what he believes.
Yep.
Correct.
Shannon Lee, longtime supporter of the show. Thanks. $5 super chats. He said, so is Adam Kokesh practicing libertarianism by taking a stance in jail stemming from his arrest in Colorado? Could any of you do what he's doing? Yes. That's the answer. Yeah.
Yes, I could. Yeah. Yes, I could. And yes, I would.
Yeah.
So and God bless him. Here's the thing. It's like when you say any of you, like I can do it. Clint can do it. I don't know that Josh could. You got a family to feed.
I could if I had
to. Yeah, there's lines to be crossed, and everyone's got a different line. And props to Adam for doing what he's doing, and all the power to him. But even Jose had a great point when he was about to lose his job for the vaccines. Like, he's got kids to feed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, there's a line that not everyone can cross.
True. You know, I was telling my friend that when we were talking about the same thing, the fake vaccine cards. And I agree with what you're saying, Justin, but a part of me, like the Machiavellian sense, I said, you know what, man, do what you have to do to survive, because if you're broke and busted, you're useless to me when we need you.
So that's the thing. It's like a fake vaccine card to keep your job, to feed your family, fine. But it's no different in the fight against the mandate than getting the vaccine.
Right.
Yeah. But, exactly. You know, not every chess piece is a bishop. Some are pawns. Right. So, you know, it's kind of rough to say, but hey, govern yourselves accordingly.
But I'm a queen, girl. You know what I'm saying? I'm a queen. Chris Allen, $5 super chat. Thanks, brother. He said, just here to buy Josh a Corona. Clint just tweeted that lookalike with my red Yankees hat and tagged you. You guys are all awesome. Keep it up. Awesome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, guys, man, we're at the end of this thing. Before we go, I want to find out where my viewers and listeners can hear you, see you, support you, all that great stuff. We'll start with Justin. Where can people find you at, brother?
You can check me out on YouTube, O'Donnell for Liberty, or follow me on Twitter. That's where I'm most prolific. They gave me a blue check mark for some reason, and they refused to cancel me at O'Donnell4NH, and I got all my links to everything on Twitter.
Awesome. Top Lobster. Man, where can the people on my show don't know how they can support you. Can you let them know?
TopLobster.com. You can catch me there. I had this crazy idea, and I spoke with Clint and a couple other guys about it, but I'm like, you know what? Maybe we could do a little bit more if we had some blue check marks. So, like, let's try to get a book published. And
I'm gonna write one. I swear to God, I'm gonna do it,
dude. I'm thinking about doing a picture book and just getting like the greatest minds, like write a short essay, and we'll illustrate something right next to it and fucking publish it.
After hours, I'll tell you the funny story about how I wrote my book.
All right.
Was it on weed?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And all kinds of other shit, I'm sure. Jacob, where can people find you, brother? Support you, listen to you, all that great stuff.
It's Twitter at Biblical Anarchy, like it says at the bottom ticker there, and links to my podcast and stuff are all there, or you can go to daniel318.com.
Awesome. Thanks, brother. And of course, last but not least, Mr. Clint, where can people listen to you, find you, support you, all that great stuff?
Twitter at Liberty Lock Pod, and it's Liberty Lockdown everywhere else, including Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, blah, blah, blah. And also, I did write a piece for someone in our realm that's going to be included in kind of a, what was Michael Malice's book title?
Anarchist handbook.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of an anarchist handbook type vibe. So I will be a published author in a very small way. So that's kind of cool. And I also do intend to, I think I'm going to write a book. Like, I really do. So stay tuned for that. I'm still mulling over the best attack strategy to go with it. But I have a lot to say, if you can't tell. So it should be
one more thing. Yeah, so keep an eye out for that book, because I heard it does have good artwork on the cover and the back. Also, if you're at toplobster.com, you can check out Break the Cycle merch. I did a whole new, man, I've been working ceaselessly to get this website like nice. You can get Break the Cycle stuff. You can get Liberty Lockdown stuff. I have some embroidered stuff for Clint and for Josh, and we're like revamping Naturalist Capitalist, No Way Jose, and the Tower Power Hour. We're fucking doing it. It's got, it's like, it's going to be a one-stop shop. So go there and get all your racist merch.
It is. I have seen the website, and it's 100 times better than it was when we first started doing this thing, man. It looks really, really good. You can literally just click on the icon for any of the shows that you like to watch and all of that gear.
When you see a bunch of Top Lobster merch at like the next, like white power movement march, it's gonna be unbelievable.
Bro, that's my goal. Every fucking libertarian event I have been to over the last maybe 6 months, I've seen at least 5 Top Lobster shirts, dude. At least.
Well, you saw my tweet like a couple weeks ago where like my wife yelled at me because I went to Target and bought like a 5-pack of cheap shirts, and she's just like, "Why are you wasting money on cheap ass shirts like that?" She's like, "Let me help you buy shirts." And she's like, "Why don't you just go on Top Lobster site and buy more shirts?" Okay. And I was just like,
I don't even have
the most based woman.
I think
in
I have
world.
4 shirts that I wear that aren't Top Lobster. Like 4 of them.
I know, dude. Me too.
Legitimately, I have my Mad One shirt because I love the Mad Ones. I watch their podcast.
I got that one too. Yeah.
Yeah. And
my wife has the Eat My Entire Ass shirt.
Yeah. Toad busted that out. He's also got that one. That's awesome. And then I have my physical removal shirt from hopping.org that I'm wearing actually under this hoodie right now. And then I think I have like one red. Oh, I have a Slipknot shirt that I wear every once in a while, bright red Slipknot shirt, and one other shirt. Everything else I wear, all my hoodies, all my t-shirts, all Top Lobster.
This shirt's not bad.
Yeah,
I wear this a little bit.
That's the big Rothbard tier Patreon supporter there, buddy. I appreciate you.
Oh, also one last note. I told you guys about this before we started, but I am laying down my verse on a track with Patriot J, aka Sir Hottest, and the track was produced by Neocon Remover,
fucking,
and it's fucking
awesome.
A banger. It's called Wild West Pimp Style, and I'm telling you, you guys are gonna love it. So,
guys, thank you for supporting the Neocon Remover fundraiser, man. It was really cool.
That was a big one.
Yeah, that was awesome that you guys just came out and supported them like that. That was great, man.
Absolutely,
you got every penny, and yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I think they went $2,000 or $3,000 over what they were looking for, man. And I'm really glad. That's what a shitty situation, man. That's just sucks, dude. Sucks really bad.
Yeah, he shouldn't have shot his wife, but you know.
Yeah, well, you know, every once in a while they piss you off. It's chaos, dude. I'm telling you. Guys,
we all make mistakes.
Guys, I love you to death. I appreciate you all. If you can give me like 5 minutes or less than 5 minutes to shut out the public stream, we'll get the members only stuff started.
Cool.
Thanks, guys. What the heck's going on here? Sorry. I don't know what just happened. Guys, another awesome episode of Break Cycle. Those guys are all great. Please go follow them, support them. I want to know how many of you saw the Easter egg of the Sweet Baby Ray's sauce on my backdrop back there during the show. I didn't see one comment about it in the chat. I was like, you know what? I'm going to put this up there. I just bought a new bottle. See what anybody says. Nobody said a word. That hurts my feelings. I'm not going to lie. No, I'm just kidding. Go check out our sponsors, of course, TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get this great Getting High on the Ideas of Liberty Ron Paul hoodie that you see me wearing today by using BTC at checkout for a 10% discount. Or go join my Patreon and subscribe star. Both of those are /BreakTheCycleJS. Or join the YouTube membership so you can check out all the members-only streams live. And you get into a private Discord server where you can get all the Top Lobster's new gear up to 2 weeks before it goes to the general public at a 20-30% discount. Really good stuff. And of course, executive producers of the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a wonderful job that the government has historically sucked at, much cheaper and much more efficiently. Guys, this will be the last show for the weekend. Next week's going to be a little crazy. I got my good friend Dave Benner from Tennessee coming on. He's a serious mouthpiece for this movement who needs some serious elevation. So please make sure you check that show out. I'm hoping to get the rescheduled show, Conspiracy Couch show, out Wednesday, hopefully, with Josh Denny and Dave Casey and Dan Smotz. That'll be a makeup show because last week when I was going to do the show, or this week when I was going to do the show, we had a random land hurricane and tornadoes and 80-mile-an-hour winds, and it wasn't going to get done. Had all the kids down in the basement, and the power was flickering in and out. So no way we were going to be able to do a live stream. So hopefully we'll be able to make that up. I'll see you guys. Ooh, someone dropped the Kinder's barbecue sauce in the chat. Oh, that's Ashton. Yeah, Kinder's is my favorite. Definitely the best. But I will see you guys next week on Tuesday for my show with Dave Benner. Until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain, but I just meant it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just meant it in Minecraft. But Chipper is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Obviously I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing I mean, you know it. The product is getting close to COVID. Holy shit, I don't.